Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Brian, thank you very much. Now, last night, the two men vying to be British Prime Minister on the 5th of July clashed in their first TV debate of the 2024 campaign. Rishi Sunak and Keir Starmer argued over tax, healthcare and their international obligations. One clear point of difference emerged when Rishi Sunak was asked about his plans to deport people to Rwanda, falling outside international law, by the moderator, Julie Etchingham.
If your Rwanda plan is blocked by the courts, and will this appear in your manifesto, that you would remove the UK from the European Convention on Human Rights? Is that part of your plan? Will that be in your manifesto?
I'm crystal clear. I believe all our plans are compliant with our international obligations. But if I am forced to choose between securing our borders and our country's security or a foreign court, I'm going to choose our country's security every single time.
So that's a yes. Excuse me, can I be clear? That is a yes.
I've been crystal clear. I will choose our country's security ahead of membership of a foreign court every single time.
Very, very clear answer. Keir Starmer, respond to that directly to Rishi Sunak, please.
No, if I'm Prime Minister, we will not pull out of international agreements and international law, which is respected the world over. Because I want the UK to be a respected player on the global stage, not a pariah who doesn't agree with international law. And those laws were put in place after the Second World War, after the horrors of the Second World War, when all governments, all countries came together and said, never again. And to rip, and it was a Conservative government. Churchill's fingerprints are on this instrument. So important was it for the Conservative Party.
Well, for his analysis on last night's debate, I'm joined by Professor of British and Irish Politics at the University of Liverpool, John Tong. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
I went through some of the reviews of last night, took some notes, performative politics, light entertainment, sound and fury. What did you make of it?
I thought it was a very shouty match. Quite what we learnt is unclear. If you had to score it, I'd say it was a nil-nil draw, in the sense that I don't think either candidate really was capable of scoring a clear goal in the whole game. I mean, both candidates had good moments. I mean, clearly Rishi Sunak was vulnerable on an NHS waiting list. That was one of the few moments where there was audience participation. There was derisive audience laughter when Rishi Sunak tried to claim that National Health Service waiting lists had come down, and Keir Starmer had the figures to prove that that was incorrect.
Well, so John, I think before we discuss that, I think we have a clip of that. Let's take a listen.
But we are now making progress. The waiting lists are coming down. But what Keir Starmer didn't mention to you, which you did, Julie,
7.2 million, they're now 7.5 million. He says they're coming down. And this is the guy who says he's good at maths.
Yeah, they are now coming down. They are now coming down.
7.2, yes. When you said you'd get them down, 7.2 million, they're now 7.5 million. I'd like you to explain how they're coming down.
Because they were coming down from where they were when they were higher.
7.2.
And they're now on their way down. They are down, right? Yes, because the NHS was impacted by industrial action. And if it wasn't for that, half a million appointments would have been saved.
So it's somebody else's fault.
No.
So you chalk that up as a win for Keir Starmer?
Yeah, that was his biggest win of the night, by some distance. I mean, when you're being laughed at by the audience, then you've got a problem as Prime Minister. I think in terms of Rishi Sunak's best moments, well, the first one was very controversial, this claim that Labour's going to put up tax by £2,000. The UK Treasury has made clear this morning, there's been a release of a letter saying that that should not have been, should be clear that that did not come from civil service calculations. So the question begged of Rishi Sunak is where that figure of £2,000 is coming from, given that both candidates have said they will not put up VAT, they will not put up national insurance, and they won't put up income tax. So where is that figure coming from? That said, it might have been a good tactic from Rishi Sunak, because everyone is now talking about Labour's so-called £2,000 tax rise. So it might have been a good strategy, and Keir Starmer didn't immediately refute the claim. I think Rishi Sunak's other moment was on immigration. He basically asked Keir Starmer what his plan was to control immigration and illegal migration to the UK, and Keir Starmer was struggling a bit there. Controversially, as you flagged in your introduction, Rishi Sunak did not swerve the question about leaving the European Convention of Human Rights. Whilst you wouldn't expect that debate to be dominated by Northern Ireland, that does beg the question, well, given that the Good Friday Agreement, it's actually a requirement to incorporate European Convention on Human Rights law within that, then what happens in respect of that agreement? Maybe that will come up in later debates. I mean, I didn't think the whole debate left people begging for more, it has to be said. I mean, a lot of it was old ground that's been rehearsed for the last couple of years between, mm-hmm. between the two leaders. Did it greatly add to the sum of human knowledge? Not really. And it's worth remembering all this, whilst we sort of enjoy these TV debates, and they're good for democracy in lots of ways, it's worth remembering that, you know, the viewing figures have just been released. 5 million people, just shy of 5 million people watched it. I accept that some people will watch it later, and a lot more people will listen to radio clips or TV clips. But that means that 44 million electors didn't watch the debate. So, you know, whether it'll have any impact in the campaign itself upon the result.
But as you say, John, you know, people do watch in different ways now, you know, and it is the sure. clips really, I think, in the main that people will hear over the course of today. And that's why I wonder whether there will be big questions for Keir Starmer today over that €2,000 additional tax claim made by Rishi Sunak time and time again, which most people are saying this morning Keir didn't push back against early enough and strongly enough in the debate.
Yeah, and I understand why Rishi Sunak used the tactic. The last time the Conservatives won an election against the odds was way back in 1992, and that campaign was dominated by the Conservatives talking about Labour's tax bombshell, that Labour would put up taxes. So it's understandable why the Conservatives would go for that. They still think that Labour is seen as a high-tax, high-spend party. Now, Keir Starmer did come back at Rishi Sunak and say, look, this government has put up 26 tax rises. This is the British expert on tax increases. Quite good lines from Keir Starmer. But yeah, it was perhaps surprising that he didn't immediately challenge where the £2,000 figure was coming from. That said, he didn't want to let Rishi Sunak set the agenda. And if you're immediately dissecting Rishi Sunak's figures, you're in effect, you know, you've had your agenda hijacked mm-hmm. by the Prime Minister. So I can understand why Keir Starmer didn't immediately contradict it. He did later in the programme.
Now, did you get the sense that neither man wanted to admit that there is no money?
Absolutely. This was the whole nonsense about the debate in many ways, because both are pretending that some sort of utopia will lies around the corner under their respective parties in government, when we all know this is not the same. Let's imagine for 1 minute that Labour is coming back to office. It's not like 1997, when Tony Blair had lots of money to spend and had a nice financial inheritance. The fact is that debt as a percentage of GDP has never been greater. There isn't the fiscal room for manoeuvre. We're talking about tinkering at the edges in terms of what can be done in terms of spending on infrastructure projects, for example. So, and there is an air of unreality about this. The idea that lots more money can be pumped into the NHS to reduce waiting lists, it's not there. So, you know, so in that sense, some of the other debates about immigration, about, you know, cost of living, are in that sense more important, because there are things that the parties can do in that respect. But I mean, in terms of, I think the polling evidence has been quite interesting since as to who won. The first poll that came out suggested it was very close and that Sunak won insofar as you can win such a debate, 51-49. But subsequent polls have suggested that Starmer won. So it looks like the electorate themselves, those who did watch, you know, are divided over this. I mean, I think both leaders will be pleased that they didn't implode during it. There were no horrific moments for either of them. But it's the pressure is upon Rishi Sunak. He's the person who's trailing, if the polls are to be believed, by 20 percentage points as a minimum or an average. Then, you know, he is the person who needs the puncher's chance here, who needs to land the knockout blow in one of these contests. Mm-hmm. There are two more to go. We covered an awful lot of ground last night, not in much depth. But if you look at the range of topics, it was vast. You know, if you think of the time allotted, including commercial, if you take out the commercial breaks and the introduction, there was probably only about 45 minutes. And we covered about 10 topics. It was probably too many, to be honest.
Just a word on the polls. The latest one, again, is wildly in favour of Labour. This was this Servation poll, 30,000 people, putting Labour's seat tally at 487 and the Conservatives at 71. Now, when you're so far ahead in the polls, why are you doing television debates? Because you can only chip away at your lead.
Great question. And I was genuinely surprised that Keir Starmer agreed to them. If you look, since 2010, when these debates were introduced, in subsequent elections, the leader who's been well ahead in the polls has swerved these debates by and large. David Cameron wasn't that interested in 2015. Boris Johnson certainly wasn't interested in doing head-to-heads in 2019. So it is a mystery as to why Keir Starmer is there when, you know, he's 20% ahead in the polls, 20 points ahead in the polls, but you're reduced to an equal if you go in and do a head-to-head like the one last night. So, yeah, and you know, it's Keir Starmer's election to lose in many ways. So it is surprising. I mean, Keir Starmer thinks that these debates are a good thing. Secondly, he was calling initially for debates. So, another thing is he's been calling for an election for the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. So you can't really call for an election then say, well, actually, yeah, but I'm not going to front up at all and actually have a TV debate. I mean, Keir Starmer did ask a good question last night when he said, if things are going so well as Rishi Sunak claims, then why has he gone early? Why is the election being called? Rishi Sunak made the fair comeback saying, well, hang on, this guy's been calling for election for the last 2 years. Yeah. So, you know, they both scored points on that in that respect.
Well, I know, John, you said that the debate didn't leave people wanting more, but we do want a bit more, don't we? We will be looking forward to the other two debates when they come along.
Yeah, but I mean, we're obsessives. I mean, I actually watched it in a pub in Salford, about a mile from where it was actually debate was taking place. But there were about three or four of us watching it, and the rest of the pub just carried on as if, you know, they couldn't care less, which I thought
volumes. They're in the 44 million, John.
I'm afraid so. Yeah.
Thanks so much. We'll talk again, I'm sure. That's John Tong there, who is from the University of Liverpool. Coming up next, the best film and TV to watch this month.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.